Ladies and gentlemen, would you please rise for the playing of our national anthem?
Game time, NBA. Slamming ops like MMA in the octagon. When I'm about to rhyme, I drop a young eight like it's mama time. Then eight more, that's a Paul Gasol. They gon' say, whoa, that boy's raw. Got a fast break straight to the hole. Drop the last eight, that's 24. And there's plenty more where that came from. Better know the flow, grade 8-1. And I'm ambidextrous, AI. They can plan to exit, they can't hide. I got hands in the fight like Mayweather. I know your man's in the mic thinking they better, but they ain't never. They featherweight, treble clef, a heavyweight in every state. Never delegate. My team, the greatest, from the NYC to Vegas. Now that I'm in the game, I see the A-list. But none of them can't quite see me, they wish I'm raising the bar. You players ain't ranking and taking up space at the bar when we drinking. I'm calling the play. You balling tomorrow, we balling today.
We going all the way. We're taking off from here. Watch as we go. Ain't no one blocking or stopping. We know. We making every shot that we throw. Watch as we go. We going all the way. I know we coming. Going all the way. Up to something. Going all the way.
My team got rings like stepping in them. You shouldn't even think about stepping in them. And when they got the ball, it's like a weapon to them. We win, then we pop the ballers like 11 of them. I'm aiming for the crown and I won't stop. You laying on the ground like a dope stop. Showstopper, I can't stop, won't stop. Ain't no way for my haters to go when I post up. I'm headed to the paint, breaking ankles. Big team, big goals, big bankroll. You figure that they close, but they ain't though. We the reason that they posting the hate quotes. Disrespecting the name just to bait you up. They thinking it's a game, but they play too much. Don't listen to them silly, you can play too much. They trip because you with it and they take the bus. When we roll up like Wiz Khalifa, you on the sideline like a cheerleader. You see me and my team, we winning, we up. And we gon' eat like Queen Latifah. And we get it better than every day. I'm the new 2-3 like LBJ. Niggas listening to me like, what the hell you say?
We going all the way. We're taking off from here. Watch as we go. Ain't no one blocking nor stopping. We know. We making every shot that we throw. Watch as we go. Going all the way. You know we coming. Going all the way. Up to something. Going all the way. We aiming for it. Going all the way. You can't ignore it. Going all of the way.
What is good? What is good? What is really, really good? Ladies and gentlemen, this is your boy James, a.k.a. Hollywood J. Black, live in the building once again. Before we go any further, before we start the show, before we go on the rant and raves of the NBA, we got to start this show with one highlight only. You ready? I'm ready. Hope y'all ready. Let's go.
Finney Smith to inbound. Back to Doncic. Doncic pulls up. Three-pointer. Bang! Bang! It's good! Doncic wins the game at the buzzer!
Let's go! Luka Doncic! Boom! Shaka Luka! Luka for one! Two!
This Doncic
rolling on the floor is a good three.
This Doncic masterpiece is complete.
The call on the floor is that it was a good three-point basket.
Luka Mania alive and well here in Orlando.
Rulings confirmed. Good.
He got the matchup he wanted, and he had the presence of mind to know exactly how long 3.7 seconds was.
This is a shot he works on time and time again. Rhythm, step back three. That's in his resume. What a performance by Luka and the Mavericks. Mama, there goes
Luka with the game winner. Seals a 43-point run. A victory of epic proportions. Completes it with a game winner. They were down by 21 at some points. And he comes in. Does his thing. He all the deck is stacked against him, and he delivers an epic performance that'll last a lifetime. Luka Doncic, and I've been telling you guys on this show, and you guys have hopefully been paying attention. I've told you since last year, Luka is the truth. I said that the way that he plays basketball, he plays it with the European hard worker mentality. He has a shot that is dangerous from anywhere, even though that he is the worst three-point shooter in the playoffs right now when it comes to active three-point shooters with more than 20 shots or something like that. But he can still hit a deadly dagger. He's been working on that step back three. Now the most dangerous step back three in the NBA. James Harden hits a really nice one, but Luka, nobody expects it from Luka, and that's what makes it dangerous. He comes in, wreck shit, leaves. And there's a lot to take away from this game as it is. First thing and foremost, how do the Clippers, when you have 2-1 up, you don't put the foot on the throat? You had everything at your disposal. You had no Porzingis. Your whole roster's healthy. Everything ready to go. Everything ready to rock. And somehow, some way, somehow, you completely blow it. You were up by 21. You had the world as your oyster. And then yet, you freaking blew it. I'm not a Clippers fan, by the way. I just kind of want to emphasize that. I'm a competitive sports fan. And I'm the type of person that knows if I have the advantage on the other team, I'm not taking my foot off the throat. It's the Bill Belichick way, the Patriot way. You don't take your foot off of anybody's throat. You don't sit there and be like, oh, we good, fam. We good. We going to win this way, all right? They're just going to give up. Listen, nobody's giving up in these playoffs. This is a unique situation, a situation that's like no other. And yet, you come here. You come into this game and you say, you know, you're up by 21. And there's a lot of people to blame for this situation, too. And I'm going to go over the amount of people that we're going to blame. So let me start my list off of people who I like to blame for this loss. First of all, Doc Rivers. Doc Rivers called a crap defensive scheme at the end of this game, in overtime. He made it so that when Luka cut in, that Reggie Jackson would tell him, Reggie Jackson is not the best defender. He's not even a top 100 defender. And yet somehow, this man ends up on Luka, which then that's a brilliant play by Dallas, right? Then you allow Luka the spacing. If you give Luka 2 feet of space, 2 feet, 2 feet to when he has to hit the jump. And by the time he does a step back, he's like 4 feet, four feet. You're asking for trouble. You deserve to lose. So it starts there. It starts with Doc Rivers. We're going to start it right at the top. Doc Rivers, okay? Second person that I like to put on my blame train is the person that decided to do this trade for Paul George. Paul George has been – Pandemic P has been undoubtedly the worst bust in the history of basketball. This whole trade thing, regular season P, a Pandemic P at the – and we'll say Bubble P has been good. Playoff P has finally reared its ugly head. This is the stats we got to show for it. You ready for this one? I love this one. He played a total of 45 minutes in this game. 9 points off of 3 of 14 shooting, 3 assists. Essentially, let me see. How many rebounds he had? He had 8 rebounds, so he had a triple single, ladies and gentlemen. Congratulations, Paul George, for the triple single. Proud of you, buddy. And then he got called a bitch ass, yeah, by Seth Curry. That's what he got for his troubles, ladies and gentlemen. That's Pandemic P is on a roll. Pandemic P is on fire. And when I say fire, I don't mean like a fire that's going on in California. I mean the fire that's in your ass and you're trying to put out with Pepto-Bismol because he has been shitty. This is the worst possible scenario for the Clippers. I thought it was going to be bad enough for the Clippers if Paul George was playing at full speed. I thought that this was going to be a great series with Paul George playing like Paul George. Instead, Paul George is playing like ass, and the Mavericks should actually be up 3-1. It had not been for Porzingis getting ejected in the first game. Let's call a spade here, y'all. Let's really call it like it is. The Clippers, right now, as it stands, if you had to ask me where the Los Angeles Clippers stand in this, I tell you, I don't think that they're going. I'm still told you it's going to go to seven. I still, just like I told you with the Blazers and the Lakers. I know that's going to seven. Don't worry, my man Dame Lillard is going to come back and drop it on them. So don't worry about that. But the reality is that this is a shock. I thought they were going to try to end them in six, maybe seven. The Clippers were going to be fine. Instead, this might end up being the upset. Playoff wise, this is the first, like, since the Mavericks got upset by the Warriors way back in 2006, like around there. This might be the worst upset ever. Let me see. Oh, we got a little thing. Marty Miller's like, bro. I'm telling you, though, this is real. I'm sitting here thinking to myself, what the actual fuck are the Clippers going to do? And I have absolutely no freaking idea. Because if Porzingis comes back healthy, and he's good, because now we've already proven that Luka can beat the Clippers on his own. I mean, of course, you got Tim Hardaway and you got Dorian Finney, all them boys, Trey Burke and all them joints, right? Okay, we got that. But Luka can lead this team to the victory if he needs to. We've seen that now because they almost beat them, you know, with Luka in there, had it not been for that late run by Kawhi in the first game. So now we're at a point where if Porzingis comes back, if Porzingis comes back and healthy for the next two games, or mostly healthy for the next two games, it's a wrap. That's where we're at right now. It is a wrap. Could you imagine what would happen? The uproar and hoopla that would go if the Clippers are eliminated in the first round of the playoffs after putting together their super team? I don't know. I'm sitting here. They got this payroll. They got shooters. This is the crazy part. LA's got shooters. They got Shamet, who's been coming off the bench. They got so much potential, and yet Luka is over exceeding expectations. He's coming in playing 38 games. I mean, dropping 38, dropping 40, dropping 36, and just consistently playing excellent fucking basketball. Meanwhile, Pandemic P can't even get 10 points in a damn game. Like, how much more do you want from Kawhi? 10 of 22, 32 points. 3-9 from three-point shooting. He almost had a double-double, okay? Marcus Morris is playing 35 minutes, and you're not getting this man the ball. 3-9. But obviously, at this point, he's a better option than Pandemic P. They're not feeding Zubac the ball in the paint. Especially, they really should have fed Zubac the ball in the paint, and they didn't do that. What the fuck? There was nobody in the paint. Was Maxi Kleber and Boban's going to stop Zubac's, dude? Nah. Shamet played. Trez Harrell played 17 minutes off of 1-2 shooting. The Mavs were playing small ball because they had nobody. They had nobody in the low block to stop anyone, and yet somehow you don't put your big stalky dudes there. No. Lou Will dropped 36. I understand. Listen. I understand that you got to kind of get a little balance, right? You got some starters because you want Lou Will to lead your little second unit, right? Lou Will should be starting at this point. He really should. I would have Marcus Morris come off the bench because at the small forward, he could play the small forward, the power forward, and the shooting guard. He could play all three of those joints. He's played it before. You need Lou Will, especially if you're going to be adamant about having, like going small. If you're going to go small, you got to have Lou Will. Lou Will has to be in the game. And he's playing 34 minutes anyway. 34 minutes off of 13 to 20. And that you can't even capitalize. Meanwhile, the Mavericks are out here. Doncic dropping 43. Hardaway Jr. dropping 21. Burke dropping 25. Burke was schooling Paul George all night. Jesus. The only one that played a bunch of minutes and didn't do shit was Finney Smith, but he only got the ball 9 times to shoot. But he was 2 for 5. The two daggers that he needed to drop, he dropped. Maxi Kleber played 37 minutes, 2 of 8, but he got them boards. He got 9 boards. He was a Porzingis light. Not really, you know what I'm saying? Not really like, you know, balling like Porzingis, but he was, you know, filled the bench, you know what I'm saying? It's so bad. They got so many injuries. They have Michael Kidd-Gilchrist playing. This is the first time he's played in the bubble. And I think yesterday was the first time he played First time he's ever played in the bubble. Excuse me. Boban had 10 points. How you let Boban get 10 points in the paint and Zubac is your dude and Trez is supposed to be your dude? Nigga, baby Seb Curry, 6 of 9. And when he's 6 of 9, he only went for 1 3-pointer. He went for big brother number, Steph Curry. He's trying to get in where he fit in. Oh, man. I'm just looking at this. I'm sitting here, and I know this is semantics, right? I'm sorry. I'm sorry, y'all. Y'all gotta bear with me for a minute. And I just look at this and I say, what are the Clippers going to do? That is the question. What are the Clippers going to do? How are the Clippers going to win this series? I know it looks funny, but hear me out for a second. And I just talked about this earlier in the show. How in the hell are the Clippers at full strength? We've seen that the Dallas has dominated them at full strength. What are they going to do? What are the Clippers going to do? What can they do? That's the other question. If Porzingis is healthy, it's a wrap. You don't have anybody on your roster that's going to stop Porzingis. I said this from the jump when the Mavs got the 7th seed, I said whoever plays the Mavs is SOL. It's all bad. And for that reason, we already thought that, you know, New Orleans was going to get that 8th seed. We thought that was a lock. And then all this shit happened. Blazers are in. So we're at this point. We're in a crossroads, bros. My knuckles are ashy. I'm sorry. I had to work on my car today. We're at a crossroads with this one. And it's funny because 2-2 literally is the crossroads in the playoffs. 2-2, that's just what it is, right? So what are we gonna do? Where are we at now? I honestly think it's going to 7, but I think Dallas is gonna beat them. I think it's a wrap for Dallas. And if so, you think about this for a second. The Clippers get bounced in the first round. They play the winner of the Utah-Denver series. So Dallas plays the winner of the Utah-Denver series. I have seen the Mavericks stomp out the Jazz and Denver. And considering how this is all going, I don't think – I'm pretty sure that they can beat it, which then takes us to an NBA – a Western Conference final with possibly the Lakers and Luka Doncic and the freaking Mavs. AD versus Porzingis, Luka versus LeBron. That's where we're going with this. I think in spite of the Zion Williamson, that whole thing wanting to be built off of Zion Williamson, I think that was, it failed, but I think we got something even better bringing the horizon. Mark my words, if Dallas beats the Clippers, it is going to be the Lakers and the Clippers in the Western Conference Finals. You can call it, you can book it, write it down, count me in. This is where we're at. Because again, I don't see Utah or Denver beating this hot ass fucking Dallas team. It's not gonna happen. It's not gonna happen. I'm sorry. I hate to be the bearer of bad news for you Jazz and you Nuggets fans, but the buck stops here. That series, because of the way that is built, is likely going to 7 games. I'm pretty sure Denver's gonna take it 2-2 tonight. And it's gonna go to 7. Look out for it. Don't say I didn't warn you. Don't say I didn't call it. I'm telling you, mark my words. And for the viewers that are popping on right now, if Dallas beats the Clippers, it's going to be Lakers versus Mavericks in the Western Conference Finals. And that show right there will draw ratings galore. It'll make up for the dud of a semi-conference final, semifinal in the conference between Dallas or the Clippers and whoever they play. Because I feel that if the Clippers make it and it's Denver or Utah, it's a sweep. Get out the brooms. Get the sweeping. Maybe even 5. The conference final is where it's at. Point blank, period. Don't say I didn't warn you. So now we get on to OKC. Oh no, before we do that, we gotta get to the brooms. We gotta grab the brooms. Get these brooms, yo. We had 2 sweeps tonight. The Raptors finally dispatched of the Brooklyn Nets. The poor Brooklyn Nets. Listen. The Brooklyn Nets have been the type of team, they've gone this far. What is the phrase? What's Linkin Park? They tried so hard and come so far. But in the end, it doesn't really matter. The reality of the situation with them is that they backpedaled into this. They were victims of the Portland Trailblazers, Damian Lillard. They were out Kyrie Irving. They were out Spencer Dinwiddie. We knew they were without Durant. This wasn't a surprise because they were facing a juggernaut of a Raptors team that absolutely is dominant. They are the number one seed for a reason. That just is what it is. That's not a surprise. If you were surprised by the Raptors sweeping the Nets, then you know, let me surprise you by selling you some beachfront property in Arizona, because that means you're a sucker. All jokes aside, ladies and gentlemen, that's just what it is. We knew it. I knew it. Everybody knew it. It's just I don't see how you would have thought that this was going to end any other way. The great thing about the Raptors is that they play excellent team ball. When it's not Pascal Siakam doing anything, it's Marc Gasol. And when it's not Marc Gasol, it is Serge Ibaka. When it's not Ibaka, it's Norman Powell. When it's not Norman Powell, you see where this is going. You got Fred VanVleet. The Raptors are the true juggernauts in this division. I'm sorry, the Raptors were the 7th seed because Giannis, I call him Giannis, the Milwaukee Giannis. Sorry. That's what it is. It was a sweep. 2nd seed, 7th seed. Brooklyn wasn't no match for them at all. At full strength, this probably would have been 7 games, but in full strength, we'd be talking about a different Brooklyn team and a different seeding, so let's not go there. But on the other hand, the one that we're really surprised about, well, sort of surprised, because I said no Ben Simmons, it was going to be short and sweet. The Sixers getting swept by the Boston Celtics, the Boston Celtics, the deepest team in the NBA. I keep telling you guys this. Brad Stevens has lineups for days. I said that if Ben Simmons doesn't come back, and it's a wrap for Ben Simmons, get out the brooms, because this is going to be bad. I thought the Sixers were going to steal one or two, and that didn't happen. No, that didn't. It didn't. It just, I couldn't tell you how or why. Ben Simmons had to leave the bubble, kneecap dislocated or cracked, or I don't know what the hell happened to his kneecap. But what I do know is that Joel Embiid is too good for the Philadelphia 76ers. So let's start the rumors now. Let's fuel the fire, shall we? Let's fuel and engage in a little bit of where's he going to go? And so that's the question I want to talk about. Where is he going to go? He's locked into this contract. We know that the price is going to be high for Joel Embiid. So the question is, as the Philadelphia 76ers, knowing that you are in the same playoff picture as Boston, who's potentially going to sign Gordon Hayward, or he's going to Gordon Hayward's going to re-up his sign-in deal. You're in the same league as the Raptors. You're in the same league as Milwaukee. The reality of the situation is that you're not better than any of those three teams. The Sixers are not. They're not better than those three teams. I hate to break it to you, Sixers fans, and I actually like the Sixers. I like Joel Embiid. I like Ben Simmons. Not necessarily Al Horford, not because he's a bad person, because he just committed highway robbery on them folks, but, you know, whatever, whatever. I'm not mad at that. Tobias Harris committed super arm robbery. He got $35 million as a power forward, but, you know, whatever, it's cool. But the reality of the situation is now is that we are at a point where the like you want to buy, you sell high now. We know Joel Embiid has a great contract that, while it is a max rookie contract, don't get me wrong, it is a an incentive laden contract, which is team friendly. If he doesn't play all those minutes, he doesn't get paid. It's as simple as that. So where could you push that contract? Where, if you're going to say, you know what, this is our ceiling, this is it, Ben Simmons and Joel, this is where we're at. Where are we gonna go? Are we gonna be able to beat Milwaukee? Are we gonna be able to beat Toronto? Are we gonna be able to beat Boston? I don't think they can. I think this is it. This is the ceiling. So now, Joel Embiid is playing like a beast. He's still young. He can move. He's mobile. He's not a runner. He's not going to fit in a team like Houston. So where, if you're the Sixers, you got a very important decision to make now. It might be time, and I know people are going to sweat me about this, it just might be time for the process to end. That's right. I am advocating for a trade. Sixers, he's on a rookie max, not a super max. $29 million a year. Where can we fit that $29 million? I actually have a nice, simple idea where you stick this $29 million, and I know a lot of y'all going to be mad when I tell you. It's actually two options on the table. Option A, which is the NBA-friendly option, which would be find a trade to the Sixers, and you can turn Joel Embiid into the next Tim Duncan. Could you imagine Joel Embiid with Greg Popovich learning the learning Pop's process? The Spurs, especially after what happened, you take their first rounder and possibly LaMarcus Aldridge, or sign and trade for DeMar DeRozan. Get DeMar DeRozan back into the East Coast again, where he can be an all-star again. That'll make him happy. That's the NBA-friendly option. The other option on the table, the option that I'm intrigued at, because it's actually really possible, it would be a three-team trade to get Joel Embiid on the Golden State Warriors. I know y'all gonna be like, oh, this dude, wild. He's a Warriors homer. No. Listen, it can be done. This is a simple process. You take Draymond Green. We got to get $7 million in cap space, so you got to find. It's got to be a three-team trade. We can trade a couple of your assets and the first-round pick, but and you have Joel Embiid for three more years. Well, yeah, three more years till 2023. Could you imagine a squad with Curry, Clay, Wiggins at the small forward, Eric Paschall doing the Draymond Green dirty work, and Joel Embiid at the five? We would be back to the first playoff run where we had Andrew Bogut. Now, Joel Embiid is a much better center than Andrew Bogut will ever be. I think he'd be prime Andrew Bogut with a better shot. That would be one of the nastiest combinations in the history of basketball. You stick Joel Embiid on the Golden State Warriors, and the Golden State, you just hand them the trophy every year. Because Joel Embiid and Anthony Davis will go at it tooth and nail, and that would probably negate that. LeBron probably only got 3 years left. So Curry's and Clay are just going to do their thing. You give Eric Paschall, and hell, you even give Marquise Chris some run. Chris is a young dude, and he's on a cheap contract. Let him run. That would be beautiful. I feel bad, though. I feel bad for Joel Embiid. 2 years in a row, he's given everything that he's had, and he has gotten stabbed, heartbroken, everything. I think it's time to end the process and start a new process. You get that first pick in the draft, the Sixers can finally go small, and you'll have a different type of offense. Different type of defense. Brett Brown he can't use Joel right. I'm sorry, he just can't. And there's nobody else on the team that's going to be able to get points. Y'all can sit there and be mad if you want to, but this is the reality of the situation in Philly. This is the ceiling. That's it. We've reached the top. We're done. There's nothing else to do. There's nothing else. This is where they're at. Meanwhile, also in the Eastern Conference, the Bucks were completely stunned in game one by the Orlando Magic. The Orlando Magic came in with the home court advantage of all home court advantages, came in and said, you know what? I believe that we can win. And that's exactly what they did in that first game. They came in, shocked the freaking world, and won. And ever since, Giannis has said, you know what? FU and FU, and we're going to combine these FUs to make a super FU. And Giannis has been off to the races. Chris Middleton is still playing like, meh, he could be better. But Eric Bledsoe has come on. Vincenzo has come on. And the Milwaukee Giannises are off to the races. I'm here for it. Can't wait for the next round of the series where they play. Who are they playing? So we know that, let's see, if my memory serves me, we know that the Raptors are going to be playing the Celtics. So now we have Milwaukee and whoever the hell comes between the Heat and the Pacers. And that presents another conundrum, because I've been telling people about this series. I said, do not, under any circumstances, count out the Miami Heat. Even with TJ Bubble Warren, do not count out the Miami Heat. The Miami Heat are the most defensively stout team in the NBA, and they will take away what you do good and go. And guess what happened? They're up 3-0. I said it. I said Miami. I said if you give Miami the benefit of the doubt, they will come and smack you in the face, and you won't know what the fuck happened to you. And that's exactly what's going down. Miami came in, smacked Indiana in the face, and now they don't know what to do. We're about to break out the brooms tomorrow for that one. Break out the brooms, yo. Break out the damn brooms. So now we got a crossroads. So I think in Milwaukee and the Heat. Milwaukee and the Heat will go to 7 games. I think they got an answer for Giannis. They frustrated Giannis throughout the whole entire season. They split the series 1-1. He's coming for that ass. Don't even stress it. But the Heat are coming for that ass too. That should be an interesting one. And finally, last but not least, we have the Rockets. The Rockets versus the OKC? Give me a second here. Big Sin letting me know the things that he's doing behind the scenes. Sorry. And that series has actually been really good. They came back from behind. The OKC came back from behind, stole a victory. And now we are at a point where this is now be turned into a series. I said that if Chris Paul shows up, do not underestimate this. This is a 6 or 7 game series as well, too, which is right on time because they need it to be. They honestly need this to be Wait. Give me a second. Let's check it yesterday. Yeah. Houston. Yeah, Thunder won that one in OT where they were just gassed out. I hope that they're not gassed out. I hope that Houston's not gassed out for this one because they have a lot to achieve. And if they want to go against the Lakers, they want to have any shot at the Lakers, they're going to need to win. They're going to need to end this shit like soon. They're going to need to be at full energy before the first. They need to go. The Rockets need to put the foot on the throat of OKC. As good as OKC is, they shouldn't have even won that game. James Harden should be dominating. But again, Russell Westbrook is not there, and it's just a mess. But there's light at the end of the tunnel. I think they said next, if he comes back, if this game goes to 7, Westbrook will pop up. So now we got to get to the Lakers. And the Blazers, last but not least, I tell you, this has been a hell of a series. For anybody that is a Lakers or Blazers fan, or if you're just a basketball fan in general, this series has been everything that you could possibly ask it to be. We've seen a battle between LeBron and Carmelo Anthony. We've seen Dame Lillard dropped points like it's hot. We've seen him steal a victory. We've seen playoff LeBron play basketball. We've seen AD finally get that chutzpah under him. This one's going to 7. I told you guys before, the Blazers, Dame Lillard is not scared of nobody. He's not scared of LeBron. He's not scared of AD. He's not scared of the coach, the players. He ain't scared of none of goddamn thing. This is going to 7. Book it. I'd be surprised if it ends under 7. That means probably somebody got injured or somebody's not playing the way that they need to. That's where I'm stuck at. Oh, I forgot about us. See, I don't want to talk about the Jazz, though, in Denver. I'm still disappointed in Denver. Denver should have easily dispatched the Jazz. Somehow, Donovan Mitchell has found some balls, basketballs probably, and decided that he's going to play basketball. And guess what? It's working. It's working. And that's fine. But at the end of the day, I don't think they can go 7. And I don't think that they can even do what they're doing right now. I don't even think that they're going to be able to go 7 with Denver, let alone go 7 with Clippers. I think that's a sweep 5 games. Going against Dallas Luka, that's a sweep 5 games. It's play ball until you can't play ball no more. Just call it a wrap. It's done. But I'm so disappointed in Denver. Denver was supposed to take a big step up from being the number two team in the NBA last year and being, you know, number one or number two this year, and instead they're number three. And Utah is just come in, just came in, walked the mud hole in them, stomped it dry. It's just disappointing. It's just disappointing. But we'll get right to it. So, listen, I want to thank everybody for coming on, watching the show live. We are going to be live again next Saturday? Sunday. No, I'm sorry. Next Sunday we'll be live, Sunday at 10, as usual. All week. There's no overtime sports shows during the week because we have the NFL preview coming on. We have three episodes coming on this week, so make sure you check those out. And then we'll recap the NBA basketball weekend as we walk through. But make sure you like, subscribe, and follow. Hit the little bell and make sure that, you know, you're with your boy. We're going to talk basketball. And don't be afraid to talk. Listen, for y'all watching right now, if you want to come on the show, if you got a video, you want audio, I will bring you on the show. You just let me know when. I will send you a link. You come right in. But until then, see you guys next Sunday. This is your boy Hollywood J. Black signing off. We are out this bitch. Deuces.